Live all over that internet, we are bringing you Stay Free with Russell Brand because you are officially an awakening wonder. You have rejected systemic groupthink. You are not willing to live within their world of delusion anymore. You are awakening. You are wonderful. You deserve a new elderly president that basically works for the financial industry and the military industrial complex, who basically got the CIA to lie for him, who basically, allegedly, like any of us would, got his son a good job at Burisma.
Right.
I'd get my kids a good job at Burisma.
Yeah, your daughters are a bit young at the moment, but
I've already took them to Ukraine. Give these guys a job at Burisma. They are
allegedly,
they are too young. Plus we have war, proxy war. We are important contributors to proxy war. We have to bring you the truth now that Tucker Carlson's been taken down by the mainstream. Mm. Now that Don Lemon's gone, who else is going to bring you the truth? Let us know in the chat there who you think is going to be.
We already lost Delta. I mean, come on.
No, I'm still grieving still.
I know you
are.
Oh,
my God. Come on, Joe Rogan. Like, you can do Stelza just by simply moving your voice to the center of your face.
Mm.
I liked it when he turned up at Davos, didn't you?
Yeah.
What I like about Stelza, Brian Stelza, formerly of CNN, he's so shiny.
He's very shiny.
He's a shiny guy.
Very round face.
You got to burn to shine. You got to burn to shine, sure. Baby.
Mm.
That's well, Brian Stelza's
he's
motto.
Been commenting on this quite a lot.
What?
About, not on Biden, on, you know, people getting fired.
Can't you see? Sometimes your news just hypnotise me. Anyway, we're going to be talking. Guess who we've got on?
Go on.
Saga and Jetty is coming on. Out of Crystal and Saga, Breaking Points.
Yep.
Saga's coming on here, and he used to work for Tucker. He's going to give us the inside scoop. But as you know, I've peed in Tucker's garden. Mm. That is not a euphemism, and I know that a lot of you don't like Tucker, but I've met Tucker, and he's actually extremely kind, nice person.
Mm.
That's my personal take on him. We're going to be talking to Saga about Fox, CNN, and who will be the next old stooge in charge of distracting you from the way that power fundamentally operates, regardless of which political party you either vote or don't vote for, while you're prevented from awakening to the possibility of new independent political movements that actually represent you. But you could be mistaken for thinking that Joe Biden makes a difference. If you watch his propaganda, it's some of the nicest propaganda. We actually, Gareth and I
went out and voted Democrat after this.
I've done several votes.
Yeah.
I used those definitely not faulty, and that's been proved now.
That's right.
Definitely not faulty Dominion machines to vote several times for Biden. I just kept voting and voting.
Yeah.
I like him. I think that he might, somewhere in them old bones might be an answer. Some people are pointing out that the dog Bear is here. Dan, have you got a good shot of Bear? Feel free to roam, Dan. Roam around. Get on your feet. Live life. Show the gallery. Express yourself. Enjoy yourself. This is life, baby.
Mm.
Don't be, this is not outside of life.
No.
This is your life right now. Who are you going to vote for who? BlackRock sues itself, says Purple Revolution in the chat. If you want to join us in the locals chat, we see what you're saying down there. We love you. Tucker will be an awesome voice. So much respect, says Decanu. Peace, love, light, says I vote for us. Well, if you do vote, use a Dominion machine. They demonstrably, palpably work. Or do a mail-in vote. Do a couple. Whether you're living or dead. It's easily known. I'm not saying that there's been electoral fraud, because I'm saying all election is a fraud.
Got it.
Because whoever you vote for or don't vote for, you are going to get the military-industrial complex. You are going to get Big Pharma. You are going to get a corrupt and biased media. You are going to get what you're told unless you're willing to awaken. And that is why I love you. Because you put your awakening first. You didn't let them beat you down. You didn't let them make you dumb. You didn't let them lie about you. That's why you are with us. That is why we are currently now uprising all around the world for decentralized democracies, running our own communities, transcending beyond the culture war, refusing to yield to their hate. Isn't he a good dog? Isn't he a good dog, though? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Do you think you're people? Yes, you do. He's got a tick on him. It's so hard to get those ticks off him. Anyway, let's get into Biden's candidacy video, because let this propaganda seep into you. Let it seep into you. Take a shower in the propaganda. And we're going to look at how the mainstream media are either covering or not covering this stuff in a minute. When we do sort of mainstream media, we're going to go live to see what they're up to. It's always fascinating, isn't it? Okay, let's look at this propaganda. January 6th! January 6th! What happens after January 5th? January 6th happened! Some people are doing a thing! Some people died later! No, too risky?
Might be. We're on YouTube.
Uh-oh, watch out now. None of those things actually were said by me. Definitely continue to trust the mainstream media. Continue to believe that the centralized political establishment is operating on your butt. I mean, watch this. You can see how much they care. They've made a video for you. These guys will help.
Freedom.
Oh, freedom, is it? Okay.
Personal freedom is fundamental to who we are as Americans.
Surveillance. In February, the Biden administration urged Congress to renew a warrantless surveillance law that allows the government to collect messages and phone data of Americans without a court order. Freedom!
Freedom!
Let's have a look at some more propaganda.
Nothing more important, nothing more sacred.
That's been the work of my first term, to fight for our democracy.
This shouldn't be a red or blue issue.
To protect our rights, to make sure that everyone in this country is treated equally. And that
incarceration. Biden pledged he'd cut incarceration in half. During his administration, the federal prison population has grown for the first time in a decade. Freedom!
Freedom!
Everyone is given a fair shot at making it. But, you know, around the country, MAGA...
trying to balance fear and optimism simultaneously. They've still got the heritage of deracinated hope from the Obama campaign. Hope that's not really tied to anything particular. Certainly not tied to policy. You just want blind optimism. I'd say blind optimism rather than hope. And then, they're still using fear. The fear is there's an opponent. They are. I reckon backing the idea that fear will mobilize their voter base more than optimism. Do you reckon that's right?
Well, from the basis
looking
of this, you would
propaganda.
Say so.
The propaganda, this propaganda is
Marjorie
not...
Marjorie Taylor
Greene, it's been subject to analysis. So you know, this is what they think of you. They think, basically, you can tell, that they think you're a bloody idiot. That's the main thing that they think. Did you get shots of that gallery, Dan? Did we cut it in, though? Let me have a look at them on the... No, we'll do a bit more of this video. Okay, also, look at this. While we're on the subject of Biden's freedom fighting, cutting tax on the rich, the Democrats' Build Back Better bill. Whenever you hear Build Back Better or Bilderberg Group, do you think about Build-A-Bear?
Yes.
So do I. You know,
that's the main thing.
Where you can make a teddy bear for your children. And it's time-consuming, expensive, and ultimately futile.
Right.
But when did it become like I got to work in a teddy bear factory all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Installing a heart in a teddy bear.
Nothing better about it.
It stinks. They're not building back better. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that.
Build Back Better is a gigantic tax cut for millionaires and billionaires. Under Biden, Democratic lawmakers pushed a regressive proposal to allow wealthy property owners to deduct more of their state and local taxes, that's SALT as an acronym, from their federal taxes. This initiative provides almost no benefit to the working class, but enriches their rich donors.
Stay free with Russell Brand. See it first on Rumble.
Should we just tell people our pins? I bet you wouldn't say your pin on the internet, would you?
No, you used to say it.
I used to tell people and says, you've got to get my card off me. Good luck, because I know jujitsu. Good luck getting my card. I'll defend myself. That's not in jujitsu, that.
No.
I've picked up nothing.
No.
For God's sake.
It's not one of the moves, is it?
8 years. They don't ever go like that. They never do that.
Party, whether it was...
That makes you vulnerable. Megan Fitzgerald, if I want to hear from you, Megan, I will ask you. Now, let's see what she says, actually. She might be all right.
The Sudanese armed forces or the paramilitary that took hold of this laboratory. But this is a concern because inside...
No, not a laboratory in Sudan. New pandemic coming your way. Is that what they're... Oh, no, look, it's burning down. This is why I don't watch the mainstream media.
Oh, it makes you sad.
It's depressing.
Yeah.
It's depressing, and they...
Who needs it anymore, anyway?
You've got us now. Yeah. You've got us. And more importantly, even than that, you have got Saga and Jetty, one of the most important independent voices in news media. Sure, he might disagree with Crystal every so often. Sure, he might have some traditional conservative biases, but he is a man interested in civic and civil discourse. He is a man who wants to have a conversation. He is a man who is open to persuasion and being persuaded. He is a man who is even now backed by books and the globe itself. Saga, thank you so much for joining us. We're so happy to have you.
It's a very kind introduction, Russell. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You have a really nice voice, as a matter of fact. I think that sometimes in the back of my mind when I'm listening to you, when I watch your shows. But now that I actually heard you say my own name, I like it even more. Now, look, Saga, forgive me being a media slut, but I know that you used to... What was that expression?
It's fine. Yeah, we'll go for it.
We're media sluts. We're just a couple of sluts together. Will you tell me, please, what it was like working for Tucker Carlson?
Sure. Yeah, Tucker. Actually, I would not be in media at all without Tucker Carlson. I was 23 years old. He gave me a job interview for an opening at the Daily Caller. I really wanted to break into journalism, and I was really nervous to go into this interview. And he didn't ask me a single question about anything professional. He was like, "What do you eat?" And then we talked a lot about how I used to be a vegetarian and about the caste system in India. And then I walked out after 25 minutes. And I was like, I don't know if that went well or not. And I got the job. And since then, he was the kindest mentor. He always supported me from day one. And so I really can't say a bad thing about the guy on an interpersonal level.
Yeah, I know. We went on his show. He was the loveliest man. He was barefoot behind the desk. We went around his house. I'd done a wee in his garden. And like his wife told me to do it. Just go and pee over there. That's where Tucker pees. And he went, "Are you kidding me? Are you peeing in my yard? Oh my God." Like that. And like, even though we talked about differences of opinion on cultural and political issues, it was an honest, in good faith discourse that I feel it's difficult to have in what you might call central left media spaces. And that's, I suppose, one of the significant changes that we've been occurring lately. Saga, what we are offering is that Tucker's removal or departure from Fox is significant. It's in a sense, a marker of the transition from centralized media organizations to more independent media organizations. I say that with no knowledge of what Tucker might do next, obviously. But what do you think Tucker's departure tells us more broadly about the deterioration of the mainstream media?
Yeah, the mainstream media is crumbling here. I mean, I heard for so long about how O'Reilly, nobody could replace him. Tucker was able to replace him, but that was a unique situation. He did it by recreating him in the aggregate, by bringing in younger people, dissident voices. There's nobody on the bench in Fox News that has any interest in that. And because why would you? What did we just happen? We watched Rupert Murdoch, the Australian billionaire, just axe Tucker. And from what I know, Russell, I can tell you from speaking to people here in Washington, and it's also been reported elsewhere, one of the reasons that Tucker was canned from Fox News is because he was telling the truth about what happened on January 6th. He was one of the people who exposed Ray Epps and some of the other alleged agent provocateurs that were present on January 6th. Yeah, allegedly. Yeah, see? Allegedly. Just for the lawyers. For the lawyers here in D.C.
We have a device for that. So you think it's precisely because Tucker Carlson had become an iconoclastic and independent voice willing to speak out against both the left and right, in spite of the ongoing charges from people on the left that he uses dog whistle racism and all kinds of stuff like that. You think that, in effect, he's a peripheral and anti-establishment voice to the point where he could no longer be housed within the mainstream?
I'm almost certain that was one of the big factors in his departure. We should remember, everyone is talking about Dominion. We should also forget, don't forget, Tucker didn't have anything to do with Dominion. Yes, his text messages came out, but he was actually one of the only people on the network who aired anything dissident about her and said that she, quote, was full of it. So let's put that aside. Really what it is that the previous night, Sunday night, 60 Minutes here in America, did a segment about Ray Epps in a sympathetic light, where they actually blamed Tucker Carlson and others for casting him as an alleged Asian provocateur. Well, he, so as I understand it, at the very least, was probably going to mention that on his show. There was a lot of other stuff going on. I don't want to say this is the only thing. There was another lawsuit alleging like a sexist workplace or whatever behind the scenes. Look, I work with a man for several years. I can say I never saw him do anything like that. I'm not sure what this lady has, but I do know that for Murdoch himself, Rupert Murdoch, January 6th was a major dividing line. He was always pissed about it. And I do think that that was one of the major precipitating factors as to why Tucker was ultimately fired unceremoniously from the network. I mean, he was the biggest star there. And look, I honestly think it is a good thing. I think it's a good thing, Russell, that millions more people are consuming your show, my show, people like the Jimmy Dore show, the Tim Pool show, Kyle Kalinske show. There's so many more out there where this is the demarcation point. You know, I saw a lot of people say Fox will be fine. Well, because they're number one in cable. That's like being number one in the classified ads business in 2001. By 2010, who cares? The business is gone. So you can be number one. You can be multi-billionaire in 2001. By 2010, you're gone. You're irrelevant. And maybe I'm too hopeful, but look at what you've been able to do in a shorter period of time. In 2017, I was working for Tucker Carlson. I was a White House correspondent. He had just joined the Fox News platform. Now I'm here with Crystal. We have a great show. So many other independent YouTube creators. Think about where Joe Rogan, who our mutual friend, was in 2017. Look at our exponential growth and look at their declining growth. So you can look at those two trends and you tell me where you think that's going to go. So I think this is a good thing. I think it's a good thing for the future.
It looks like there's an epochal shift taking place that goes beyond any individuals, but perhaps can be momentarily symbolized by them, particularly in this instance. Two other things I'd like to pick up on, Saga, is the fact that in this new emergent space, figures that are politically opposed, like Jimmy Dore, you and Crystal, even generally speaking, Tim Pool, myself, all operate collegiately and civilly. And perhaps this demonstrates that there's been a shift from left versus right to establishmentarianism versus dissenting or peripheral voices. Would you say that's fair, Saga?
Oh, I absolutely think it's fair. I also think that the medium is so important. Look at what you and I are doing here, Russell. We're talking. You've listened to me and I've listened to you. I've listened to you for hours. I'm sure, you know, I hope you've listened to me for some period of time. We're sitting and we're having a dialogue. We're having a discussion. You know, whenever you've done a news meet, one of your famous clips on Morning Joe, what I loved about it, but you've done this song and dance before. You come in there and you come to their studio and they tell you that they want to discuss nationalism or some topic which requires nuance and discussion in 2.5 minutes. I'm sorry. That's not possible. That's part of why the country is ripped apart in the way they are. That's part of why they're able to lie, because they have so little time that they're just focused on propaganda, propaganda, propaganda with no nuance intersected in between. I mean, I can't do a segment on the lab leak theory in 5 minutes. I just can't do it. It takes time. We have to go through the timeline from front to back. And here's the thing. What do you and I know? America, not even just Americans, people all over the world, because my audience is semi-global, which I always find fascinating. They want to hear. If you give them the opportunity, they will take the time to sit with you, to listen, to learn about something. I find that the people in independent media are 10 to 15 times more and better informed than many people who are just casual observers of the news. And it's because, I think, of the medium that we have. And for that, God bless the internet. And that's why we have to protect free speech and be against censorship.
It's interesting to contrast that with the rise of censorship and the doubling down on authoritarianism that centralized systems, be they media or governmental, are advocating for, either through the Restrict Act or through creating a climate of fear, anxiety, smearing and cancellation. I wonder, is that something that you think may similarly be overwhelmed in the same way that, you know, you said that the cable networks will become obsolete in the next 5, 10 years, whatever?
I hope so. But I still think that the worst is yet to come. And I'll tell you why. At the end of the day, these cable news shows are still making billions of dollars. I don't think a lot of people understand this, and I want to always try and hammer it home. Cable does not make money off of viewership. Viewership helps. The vast majority of their profits comes from the cable news bundle, people like Cox Communications, paying Fox News, CNN, and MSNBC to be part of the bundle. They don't make that much money, actually, from advertising. This is a multi-billion dollar business. Now, the next time those negotiations are up, let's say in the next 7 years or so for each of those platforms, they are going to discover that because of their declining viewership, they're going to make a lot less money. That is when, Russell, they are going to be stomping and using their establishment credentials to crush your show, my show, and others. Because when they see how little money they're about to make, they're about to be in the fight of their lives. That's when the knives are really coming out. So right now, unfortunately, I think we're looking at child's play. I think that the censorship battle 5 to 7 years from now will be absolutely titanic. They will be pushing, and they've already laid the groundwork for this. That's why the Restrict Act is written as it was. That's why the groundwork was made, where CNN's media reporters and those people, they get to tell Facebook and Apple Podcasts and others to take down whoever they want. This is all just battle space shaping. These are like shaping operations in a war, but we haven't even gotten close. You know, the first shots might have been fired, but we are years away from what I think that the real fight is going
to
look like.
I like the image you seem to be using there, that we have a sort of a primordial soup in which formations are beginning to emerge, tactics are beginning to become apparent, and you would anticipate more smearing, more shutting down of dissent, more opportunistic and untrue attacks on dissenting voices. That's an interesting take on that. It's not just establishment media, though, that is experiencing the problems that come with the rise of technology and the ability to communicate immediately and ubiquitously. Centralized politics is suffering in the same way. In spite of this, Joe Biden has announced his 2024 candidacy, a presidential candidacy, as expected. Do you imagine that the same problems that are besieging centralized mainstream media are also approaching the political sphere as well, Saga? Do you think that new independent political voices might emerge bolstered and symbiotically informed by independent media?
I would hope so, but I also understand how closed of a system it is. I think people need to understand that the average voter, unfortunately, doesn't matter. I think that they should. I think democracy, small d democracy, should be put into place. But unfortunately, the way that power works is everybody's talking to each other. The reason CNN has influence is because the 200,000 people who watch it, half of them live here in DC. If the right congressman or the president or right watches a CNN segment, then nobody, and a lot of people may not be watching it, but the influence is 10x. We have to get to the point where not only do we exist in a numbers wise, but you can wield real political power. Now, unfortunately, that has not happened yet. But I also do believe that it is possible. I mean, if we look at the previous Tulsi Gabbard campaign, if we look at the current candidacy of Marianne Williamson, if we look at RFK Jr., actually, is really where everyone should be stunned. RFK Jr. is a man who has been literally blackballed by all of the mainstream media. Nobody touched this man. He had the number one best-selling book in the country. He has over 1 million copies of The Real Anthony Fauci sold. And we got 14% polling in the general election. Now, that is not nothing. We should forget Ross Perot won some 19% of the vote here in the United States in 1992. And he also was a figure totally bashed and smeared by the media. Now, I'm not saying that these people can win necessarily, but let's say you're an average citizen and you want to find out, what does RFK Jr. think? I don't actually know about what he thinks. You're not going to go to the Today Show or any of these other places. You're going to go on YouTube and you're going to go see and watch an interview with him. So as that happens, as that scale begins to scale up over time, I think it is ultimately inevitable that the power will shift. But, you know, to bring back to my previous point, they will fight as hard as they possibly can to make sure that that never happens.
We're going to have RFK on our show, but I know that he's one of those people that is just surrounded by clouds of condemnation, that they try to create a climate where, you know, where you're guilty by association, that terms like anti-vaxxer become so pejorative that you can't engage in the conversation. Now, a few years later, we're beginning to see how erroneous many of those assumptions around the pandemic arguments were, and in fact, the necessity for open and good faith conversations. And so plainly what you're saying is that it's sensible to have RFK on our show to listen to what he has to say, what his policies are, what his ideas are, how he would direct America.
Absolutely. By the way, RFK, if you're listening, we're also trying to have you on our show. So we would love to also make that happen. Look, Russell, I don't think that media people think they have responsibilities to tell people what to think. I think it's the opposite. I want to help people think about whatever they want to think about. If 14% of the American public is interested in RFK Jr., let's talk and let's not make it some sort of, listen, I'm not a doctor, where I will never be able to get into the weeds about proteins and all this stuff. I can read people who I trust and I can bring that up, but I almost don't even look at that. I almost look at that as immaterial because I watched his campaign video and that's not all of what he's running on. That might be what he's, quote, known for. But he's talking about environmentalism. He's talking about the legacy of the Kennedy family. I have some of the books about written by his uncle right behind me. And I have an RFK book as well. I find them to be tremendously inspirational heroes in my own personal political views. And I would like to hear about how he possibly wants to have that legacy and move it forward. In other words, you know, letting people be branded. And then even almost, let's say that you have them on and you have a unidimensional view of, I want to destroy this person. I never walk into an interview like that. I don't find it to be interesting at all, even if I vehemently disagree with that person, because if they are prominent, let's say, you know, especially in RFK's case, clearly it appeals to someone, it appeals to something. I want to understand that. I want to help people understand that, both who might disagree and who might agree. Maybe let them see a side of him that they haven't seen before.
Yeah, that's journalistic integrity that you're describing, to investigate in good faith what it is that a figure or a subject speaks to. What is appealing? Why is he getting traction? Now, also on that bookshelf right behind you, provocatively placed, is a book called Why England Slept. Why did England sleep? And why have you put that book there? Is it to hurt me while we are still grieving for the Queen?
I did put it out for you. That was written by John F. Kennedy. It is a original written in 1939. And I have it up there just because, A, it's a cool, it was a gift to me by my fiance. But beyond that, I mean, it's just, it's fascinating to me that a 23-year-old who would later become president of the United States would write a book in real time as World War II was breaking out about Neville Chamberlain and contemporary politics in England. It's an amazing book, and it historically actually holds up today. So I really love history, specifically presidential history, and that's why I have it behind me.
Probably says more about me than JFK, but I've sort of primarily focused on sort of the glamour, the adultery, and obviously the conspiracies that surround his assassination. That was definitely a straightforward murder by one guy standing on a hill with a bullet that could defy the laws of physics. But I'd be interested to learn about his abilities as a writer and as an academic. That's fascinating. I will look into that. Saga, before you go, if you would humour us further, we know that you are interested in the subject of unidentified flying objects, or whatever the hell they're called now. Why do you think it is that they're suddenly being openly discussed? You know, I'm like, you know, people who like a band before they become popular, right? I'm like, I used to like UFOs when I was like 16 years old, and everyone's like, oh, well, why is there no good footage of UFOs then? Why don't they land on the White House lawn? And now it's like the CIA are releasing footage of them in war zones and stuff. What the hell's going on?
Well, I understand why people are skeptical. I think you should be skeptical of anything the government is releasing or saying. Here's what I would say. With Jeremy Corbell, who I know that you know as well, I've spoken to him about this. They don't want to be doing this. They got dragged here kicking and screaming because people like Commander David Fravor, who was the pilot during the Tic Tac object video, people like Ryan Graves, well, highly decorated, like completely with it pilots, are trying to speak out and have been recording this video. They've been trying to flag this. They're trying to get to the bottom of it. And eventually enough information was able to make it out that they were dragged kicking and screaming. Now, even that right now, Russell, I can tell you inside of Congress, there are only one or two people who even care about the issue. And they are also dragging the Pentagon kicking and screaming, trying to get information out of them. Remember, it's been over 2 years since we were supposed to have that initial report. We have no more video. We have one new video. It's, you know, it's a good video. It's very interesting, but you know, it's not. So based upon what I have understood to exist in the archives and more, this is not even scratching the surface. And unfortunately, I think people are viewing it almost as some sort of psyop, where I completely get where they are coming from. I really do. But, you know, I also do cover Washington. And I can tell you, you know, from people in the Pentagon and more, this is the last thing they would rather be talking about. No, they're not also using it, you know, to increase their funding requests. And also, at a time when they would have needed more funding a decade ago, when some of these videos were actually being taken in real time, they tried their best to keep it secret. So when I look at all of that, I don't yet see it. I see an incompetent, bumbling bureaucracy intent on keeping this secret, because here's the truth. They're just like us, and they have no idea what the hell is going on. I find a lot of comfort in that.
Let's have a look at the recently released UFO footage, Saga. And after that, I want to ask you about what you imagine they've got on their files, or at least your speculation, while acknowledging there is speculation. Let's have a look at that footage.
An American military drone conducting surveillance in the Middle East. Suddenly, an unidentified object zips in and out of frame. Slow it down, and it appears to be a metallic sphere. But where it came from and what it was doing remain a mystery to the Pentagon.
Have you ever seen a UFO? Why are you interested in the subject? What do you think of the philosophical and ontological connotations of life elsewhere? Do you think it's advanced technology that is human, or do you think it's evidence of life elsewhere? Do you think it might be finally the clarion call for us to unite as one human tribe while decentralizing power wherever possible?
I can only hope so, Russell. Look, I mean, my personal opinion, yeah, I believe it's a very standard story. I think that we have very likely been visited by alien civilization, maybe multiple alien civilizations. They chose 1947 Roswell, New Mexico for a reason. That reason was is that we evolved on a human, basically in terms of a civilizational accomplishment, we exploded an atomic bomb and wielded a power that really does represent the next phase of human evolution, where, as Joe Rogan has said, these chimps, they not only can kill each other by hand, they can literally bomb each other, bomb the world 50,000 times over, and possibly even represent. So I think we are very likely being surveilled. I don't really know what that looks like or what really even the implications of that. Unfortunately, I don't know, even if in our current times, that it would mean that we would all come together. I certainly do hope so. I'm a big fan of the book, The Three Body Problem, which I do actually believe is one of the more accurate views of kind of what and how a human civilization would react in the event of a visiting. But let's put all of that aside and the philosophical debate. This is also just a very straightforward story about being lied to and not getting the truth. I've done multiple videos about the past of UFO cover-ups, all the way going back to Roswell, New Mexico in 1947, to the subsequent conclusions inside of the Pentagon that we are almost certainly being visited by an alien civilization that was covered up in the 1950s. Project Blue Book, people can go back and look all of this up because, again, it takes a very long time to explain. On the videos that I listen, Christopher Mellon, former Assistant Secretary of Defense, he was a Secretary, a State Senate appointed official inside the Pentagon, is on the record saying that there is a video of two crafts that are flying together, two pilots, and a UFO that zooms in between people inside the cockpit video, absolutely freaking out about seeing that. They said it's one of the most high-impact videos that exists around this. And I also do think all of the discussion around, oh, we don't have any video of that. These, first of all, you know, this presumption is that this is a highly advanced civilization or advanced technology. But second, like all of these are happening either several hundred thousand feet or, you know, thousands of feet up in the air or miles off to sea. Cameras don't exist there. You know, it's not a place that a lot of people are, you know, necessarily with their cell phone. So I think you put all of that together and very slowly we're getting dribblings of this. I have no idea what it is. This is just my theory. I could be completely wrong. It could be a Chinese drone going Mach 7, but I don't think so. And there's good reason to say not so.
In a sense, it breaks the framework of how we regard reality, and so much of how power operates requires that we stay within such narrow framing, quarrel, quibble, and sling mud within that framework. And once you start to recognize that the universe and reality are not as we assume it to be, then cultural questions, political questions, questions around how we organize start to become sort of less significant, less underscored by passion and sort of primal impulse. It induces in me a kind of sanguinity and a kind of willingness to be, I don't know, I suppose more loving. And I feel like I heard early tapes of Bob Lazar, because remember, I'm a long-time aficionado, sort of saying that and Timothy Good and stuff, talking about how like there's a sort of a concomitant feeling of love somehow. That it sort of induces a feeling of sort of spiritual ease. And perhaps that's because it induces in you somewhat like, you know, you see like a Rorschach test, what you want to see in there. And I want to see the possibility for meaningful change.
Yeah, that's incredibly well said. I take great humility in the fact that we have no idea. And I find that to be very inspiring. I find, you know, I know that I believe you're a fan of Graham Hancock and a lot of his work as well. Do you know why that's so important? To say, who are you? You think you're the most advanced human to ever live? You have no idea. People should go visit the pyramids. Go touch it with your hands. Go and look at it. Go to Malta. Go and look at some of those temples. I've been to some of these places. Ancient Hindu temples in India or in South America. I very recently was looking at some Mayan ruins. One of them was in Mexico. There was on a cliff. Nobody knew why a hole was in the center of it. It turns out that it's a sophisticated hurricane warning system that only when the wind goes over 60 miles per hour makes a sound that can warn everybody around you. If you really believe that that was, you know, just happenstance and that didn't require, you know, the knowledge of a very advanced civilization or the Perry Reese map, I have a Perry Reese map actually over there about the, you know, the ancient view of Antarctica and how it was before the polar ice caps and all that formed. I find that to be truly inspiring. It actually makes me feel like anything is possible, whereas the previous narrative is just so cookie cutter, you know, oh, well, hunter-gatherer, and then we went to civilization, and we started having wheat, and then this happened, and then war happened, and then now we're here, and technology is the height of humankind. What if it's a prison of humankind? What if it's actually not, you know, not even close to where we were before? I find that to be a very inspiring story, personally.
Yes, yes, and when you put aside the hubris that accompanies the idea that we're at some point of some apex right now, it opens your mind to the possibility that there are, again, different ways that we might be human, different ways that we might be organized. And it takes away that kind of priapic insistence that we are thrusting ever forward in pursuit of as yet unlived dreams. The idea that we have been here many times, things fall apart, reality is cyclical, not linear. They're sort of difficult concepts to manage without, I think, the inclusion of a certain degree of spiritual grace and as you say, perhaps epistemological humility.
I think you're right. Absolutely. You know, and when, because it is more convenient to think the other way. And I think that a lot of people just need the comfort and the knowledge that we know everything that's happened. We don't know anything. And I don't know why, though, that people can't flip it around and see it as inspirational. We don't know anything. So we have so much farther to go. Or maybe we have so much farther to return back to once what we were, to discover new frontiers and new technology. I'm obsessed with the stories of exploration, of civilizational first contact, and so much more, because in that I see the birth of something new. It didn't always go well for a lot of people, but it was exciting and it was riveting. And I think that so much of the cookie cutter ways that we look at our current story and our current society are almost designed, as you've often talked about, to keep us complacent and locked into systems of power where the only thing that's keeping you in prison is your mind. You know, whenever you think differently, almost anything is possible. And a lot of this can sound hokey, but, you know, take it from a guy like me, even in a suit, like you can manifest quite a few things whenever you just want to think differently.
I think you're right. Also, how much holiday are you getting a year to go to all them Aztec temples and pyramids and stuff? We're doing 46 weeks a year, 5 shows a week. How much holiday are you getting?
Here's the best part. I did a show that morning remotely, Russell. You got to love the internet.
He doesn't stop working. Yeah, he's humble. Stop. He's grafting. He's bringing truth, humility, and grace to journalism. Saga, thank you so much for joining us. I'm such a fan of Breaking Points. It's a real privilege and a pleasure to speak with you personally. I didn't think we'd get into so many subjects and go so sort of deep. And I really, really enjoyed speaking with you.
Likewise, Russell, I would love to meet you in person next time you're in the States. So you're welcome on our show anytime. We'd love to see you.
Thank you. I'll certainly take you up on that. Thank you very much, Saga. It's a great pleasure to have you. You can, of course, watch Saga on Breaking Points on YouTube if you're willing to watch a man shackled by the limitations that come with that platform. But I would say it's certainly worth it for Saga. Did you enjoy that, Mr. Roy?
Yeah, I knew it would be great, but I didn't know you'd go to some of the areas that you did do. And that was fascinating to me, yeah.
I think one of the ways the interview benefited is we didn't childishly sexualized Saga.
That was good, yeah.
Like we do
good
some of our guests.
Mm. But the UFO thing, you know, we were talking about it earlier.
Good
and
shout, your pitch.
I like the dynamic between Saga and Crystal anyway, but there's always a bit of a smirk on Crystal's face when Saga kind of gets into talking about UFOs. And I think it really benefited from the fact that you both into it. I mean, obviously, you're long time into UFOs, aren't you?
Well, probably before anyone else
the
was.
The OG, I would say.
Oh, maybe. Is it UFOs for anyone else was?
Yeah, no,
I
yeah.
Like, yep. UFOs, is it? Mm. Come on, Russ. Cassette tapes.
That's right.
About them when I was a 16-year-old boy smoking a little bit of weed. Possibly.
We're not on YouTube, are we?
No, we're not on. It's 50 Great. Minutes,
okay,
darling.
Who knows?
Where you been, Grandad?
Listen, I am watching out for us all the time.
Did you know I used to take drugs?
I did. No,
never
I did.
Never mentioned it.
I'd heard it.
It looks like we're getting RFK on then.
It looks like it'll happen.
Send that email to that lady. I think it's Brittany Kaiser of Cambridge Analytica.
Is it really?
I think so. She was Cambridge Analytica.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Are you going to do this email live? Is this what's actually happening now? It sounds like it looks like it is.
Please, can we have RFK on our show? Yeah?
Is that what it takes for you? Any niceties or...
I don't know.
Introduction.
How do you do it? How would you do it?
I think that
Hello,
would...
I'm writing on behalf of...
It is that. Yeah, it's usually that.
You don't need to do that. No. Look, watch this. Look, yeah.
Yeah.
Can we have RFK on? Question mark.
Hang on, did you...
I love him.
Right.
Exclamation mark. He's great. Yeah, he's great. Should I do some emojis? Let's do some. I'll do some emojis.
You think it'll close the deal?
Purple heart. I always use that since I got my purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Nice.
Prayer hands, crown, thumb, double heart... Aeroplane, America, Christmas tree?
Why not?
Christmas tree.
Stick it in there.
Put a Christmas tree in.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to suggest any emojis? But you got to suggest them fast, baby, so as I can search them. Double heart. I've done double heart. I've done double heart. Well, fingers crossed. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, I'm going to do fingers crossed. That's a good suggestion from... Oh, God, we're getting so many suggestions. Poo. I'm not doing a poo.
No.
Airplane, Alex Overton, peace sign, synchronicity, 525. These are good emoji suggestions. Mm. Very good. I'm going to do the fingers crossed. Chocolate ice cream. I'm not doing chocolate ice cream. That's
disgusting.
Silly. Fingers crossed. Right, I've done that. Any other suggestions? Aubergine. I'm not doing aubergine.
No.
Because eggplant, in your language, that's... You know what that is? Sex.
Mm.
That's about sex.
Press send yet?
It's not pressed. I've not pressed send yet, Gareth.
Oh, okay. Because you're a little nervous about doing all those emerges.
Okay, baby. Send. Gone. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Bloody government holding us back. Gal, I didn't say anything crazy about politics at the beginning, did I?
It did say a few crazy things.
Crazy
yeah,
things.
I think we got through it. That was a very intellectual conversation with Saga. With Saga, so
Saga,
I think
Saga, Saga. Mm. Remember that song, Laga, 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 in our country?
Yep.
What was that about?
Football or something like that, I think.
Mm.
Should we?
Mm. Yep, time to go. Well, guys, some people are saying some complicated stuff in there.
Do the bagpuss ending.
When bagpuss goes to sleep, all the mice go to sleep. Oh, no. Think nothing but an old bottle. Think nothing in there. Consciousness emerged as a coincidence from rational biochemical processes. Consciousness itself is not a mystery that leads you beyond space and time and is evidence of God and oneness. Oh, we will fix it. We will edit it. We will come on your doorstep.
Imagine if people wanted to make like a video about Russell Brand has had a mental breakdown. It'd be so easy.
Yeah.
How's
you
it not
even have to edit it.
No, just put this out.
There you go.
There you go.
That's the...
He's had a mental breakdown.
Hey, you've edited that to... It's just live stream.
Yeah.
Hey, you've took that out of context.
No.
There is no context.
This is the context. There
that's
was
the
never
problem.
Any context.
You've not got a context. Mm. We will fix it. All right, that's finally it. I mean, the fact is, after this, it's sort of like after an orgy.
Yeah.
You've got to sort of go,
okay, then.
Okay,
well, have a good week.
Listen, good luck. Probably get that sin too.
Would do. I wouldn't normally do this on a Tuesday, so...
Midweek orgies. Oh, did you enjoy the nibbles? I meant the snacks, not the nibbles round the perineum, so to speak.
Why have all those minstrels gone white?
Oh, the colours come out of them. They've been drained of their life force over the course of the evening, shall we say? Pardon my French. I don't know. Professional help is being sought. Tomorrow on the show, if you dare call it that, we will be joined by Shania Twain,
yes.
Who don't impress me much.
No.
Not much, actually. No, it's Dr. Shana Swan, who's actually a medical professional, who's going to talk to us.
We're going to have to fuck our ideas up, I would suggest.
Because that's natural. What if she's like, what if Shana Swan's, right, imagine this, her husband's gone, listen, I've read a lot of stuff about Russell Brand, apparently he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, and she'd go, no, actually he's not. He used to be an idiot.
Very intelligent.
But he's an extremely intelligent insightful man. Yeah. Actually, show's on now.
Why don't we just tune
just
in?
Just put it on.
Yeah.
Why should we spend another moment arguing about this in our marriage?
Exactly.
Are we,
which we value.
We value this marriage.
Right.
That's why we got married.
Why would we?
Let's stop quarrelling. Just put it on. See what he's doing. That don't impress me much. Oh, saying that you're Shania Twain. He's an idiot, isn't he?
Yeah.
So you've won the argument.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not going on. Mm. That's it. That's enough's enough.
Let's hope she didn't.
Hopefully she's not watching. But even we're not actually being disrespectful.
No.
Are we? It's hard to say. She's married. Oh, yeah, she might not be married. Good point. I don't know who else was going to be in the house. Her mum. So that's Ashley's guy, and she might not be married. I just need to put someone in there.
Yeah.
Just need to put someone in the house, the sketch.
Yeah.
Her husband, I thought, worked quite well, and Gareth played the husband and stuff, no? On tomorrow's show, Dr. Shana Swan will be talking reproductive health and asking, what's up with our sperm? Join us tomorrow on Rumble. Not for more of the same. I don't think there'll be any more of that. But for more of the different. Until then, stay free. Men switch in, switch on, switch off. Men switch in, switch on, switch off. Men switch in, switch on, switch off. Men switch in, switch on, switch off.